Good evening from the White House in Washington. Ladies and gentlemen, the President of the United States.
My fellow Americans, I'm going to talk to you tonight about a real, practical, down-to-earth problem that affects the daily life of every American citizen. It affects your savings, your pocketbook, and your standard of living. This is the problem of inflation and high prices. We have to keep prices down. This is hard to do. It's going to get a lot tougher as time goes on. The problem is going to be with us for two more years at least. It is important for us to face these facts and do what has to be done to keep inflation under control. Right at this time, the Congress is considering a bill to extend and improve the laws under which we are controlling prices, wages, credit, and rents. This is a bill to extend and amend the Defense Production Act. Some of you may not realize that our present powers to control high prices are due to expire in about 2 weeks, on the 30th of this month. That leaves just 16 days. 14 working days for Congress to pass a new law. I repeat, if the Congress does not pass a new law, price controls will expire on June 30th. Last April, I sent to the Congress recommendations for improving and continuing our laws for controlling inflation. For the last 6 weeks, committees of the Senate and the House of Representatives have been busy holding hearings on that problem. Now both committees are hard at work deciding what kind of a bill to recommend. And very soon, both the House and the Senate will start to debate and then vote on the measure. This will be one of the most crucial debates that the Congress has had in a long time. The way the issue is decided will have a direct personal effect on every American. And it will affect the whole future of our defense effort and our chance to have peace in the world. There are millions of families in this country living on low or fixed incomes. A lot of people live on salaries or pensions. And above all, we must remember the families of the men in our armed forces. These people simply cannot keep up with the cost of living if we let inflation controls go out the window. They know this, and they are worried about what's going to happen. I'm getting hundreds of letters from them. Here's one from Mrs. David Green of Brooklyn, New York. Ms. Green writes, "Dear President Truman, I am a homemaker. My husband earns a fixed salary. During the past year, my standard of living has declined as prices went up. I know that I'm expressing the sentiments of millions of homemakers when I write you to continue the struggle against inflation. Please continue this struggle for a high American standard of living." Here's another letter from Mr. J.A. Pells of Cincinnati, Ohio. Mr. Pells writes, "Dear Sir, I'm writing this in reference to controls. I'm in my 79th year. I'm retired. I have a fixed income. When controls were taken off the last time, the wise men," and by that I think he means the know-it-alls, "stated that everything would be cheaper. On the contrary, prices jumped up so it hurt. A $2 shirt cost $5. God help the many thousands who are in the same position I am in. Please, Mr. President, I beg of you to keep the controls, all of them, in force for the sake of us who need this protection." Now, I want Mr. Pells and Mrs. Green and all the others who've written me to know that I'm doing everything I can to keep controls in force. The other day, I called in a group of senators and congressmen, leaders of both parties in the committees that are working on the Defense Production Bill. I told them how important it is for the country that we get a good bill passed. I think they all agreed. But some of them told me they were under a lot of pressure from the special interests to do away with controls, and that the consumers were not making themselves heard. Well, I told them that I represent the consumers and that I was speaking for them. And I am speaking for you and working as hard as I can to convince the members of Congress that we must have a strong anti-inflation law. But I can't do the whole job by myself. This is something the whole country should support. It's up to all of us. It's up to us, not as Democrats or Republicans, but as Americans concerned about our welfare and our country's welfare. This fight we have to make is not a partisan fight. Inflation is not partisan. It strikes all the people in all parties. This is a fight for everyone to join, a fight for the very life of this nation. We all know what inflation can do to people. It can take their savings away from them. It can take the food right out of their mouths. It can cause widespread suffering and despair to us and to our families. In addition to what inflation can do to us in our everyday lives, it can also wreck our program of national defense. The other day, General Marshall told the Congress that the price increases have added about $7 billion to the cost of the military equipment we have bought since the Korean outbreak. This means inflation has cost us $7 billion for arms alone in 1 year. That is, now we pay $7 billion more than we would have paid last June, and we still have most of our military equipment to buy. Think what this means in terms of taxes we must pay. Think what this will mean in the future if we let inflation run wild after June 30th. We've got to have a good, strong inflation control law on the books if we're going to get through this emergency successfully. Some people have the idea that if the fighting stopped in Korea, we could cut down our defense effort enough to do away with the danger of inflation. That is not true. We would need controls even if the fighting in Korea stopped tomorrow. The threat of communist aggression is worldwide and must be met with worldwide defenses. We are carrying on a tremendous mobilization program, which is absolutely necessary to prevent Soviet rulers from starting a Third World War. Government spending for defense will increase very fast in the next few months. And the more money the government spends on defense, the greater the danger of rising prices. Controls are absolutely necessary for at least the next 2 years, no matter what happens in Korea. Everybody should understand that the price rises we have so far are only curtain raisers to what will come along if the Congress fails to pass a strong price control law. Up until now, there have been no real shortages of civilian goods to push prices up. Price increases so far have been due mostly to the wave of buying by businessmen and consumers who were afraid of shortages and wanted to get in under the wire. This buying wave pushed prices up so rapidly that in January, the government had to put on a general freeze of prices and wages. This was a rough emergency step, but it did check the price rise. As price controls took hold, people gained confidence and the buying wave subsided. Since February, we've been building up our price and wage control organization and improving our emergency controls. Most prices have held steady. A few have gone up slightly, but many have gone down. Many retailers, caught with overloaded shelves, have been starting bargain sales to get rid of the merchandise they acquired in the buying rush last winter. Prices look steadier now than at any time since last September. This makes some people think the worst is over, but that just isn't so. The full force of inflationary pressure is still to come. Military production is just now getting underway on a big scale. The output of civilian goods is just now beginning to be seriously cut back. In the next few months, as shortages of civilian goods develop and the danger of inflation will become more and more serious, it'll take the hardest, toughest kind of controls to keep prices from going through the roof. Unless we have a good, strong law, we won't have a chance. Some people are telling the Congress now that we can get along without price or wage or rent controls. They call them direct controls and say they're bad and should be wiped out. That's the way the National Association of Manufacturers is talking these days. That's what its representatives told congressional committees working on the Defense Production Bill. These lobbyists say that we can curb inflation without price control simply by tighter credit controls and higher taxes. But strange to say, when it comes to taxes, these same people are going around urging another committee of Congress to go easy on raising taxes on corporate profits. These people who say we should throw out price controls and rent controls are all wrong. They're just as wrong now as they were back in 1946. They told us then if we would just put an end to price controls, everything would be rosy and prices would stay right in line. Do you remember that? The National Association of Manufacturers put full-page advertisements in the papers all over the country saying if we would just take off price controls, there would be plenty of things to buy at reasonable prices. The National Association of Manufacturers had its way in 1946. The Congress failed to pass a good price control law. And then we had the biggest wave of price increases in modern history. Do you think the National Association of Manufacturers has learned anything from that? They haven't learned a thing, not a thing. Here they are again giving us the same old song and dance. Take off price controls and everything will be just dandy. These people were wrong before and they're wrong now. In fact, the danger of price increases today is much worse than it was in 1946. And the situation is much different. Whatever difference of opinion there may have been about the need for price controls then, there is no possible doubt that price controls are needed now. Now we are in a great mobilization effort requiring 20% of our national production for defense. Now our men are fighting in Korea. This is no time to yield to selfish interests who scorn equality of sacrifice. Fortunately, most businessmen, especially small businessmen, do not agree with the National Association of Manufacturers. Most of them know that their future prosperity and the prosperity of the country depend upon good, strong price controls at this time. Small businessmen, like working people and consumers, know what this country's up against. They know we must have controls that bite down hard if we are to succeed. Your government is getting ready to meet the inflationary wave that is coming this fall. The Office of Price Stabilization has put controls on prices of most commodities. It is now working out dollar and cent ceilings to be posted in retail stores. Posters are going up at every meat counter showing the legal price for beef. The Office of Price Stabilization will soon have a lot more food prices posted in grocery stores, and more goods of other kinds are going to be tagged with the legal price. All along the line, we are working to tighten up our control system and to get ahead of it in shape to meet the big test that's coming. That's what Charlie Wilson and Eric Johnson and Mike DeSalle and others are doing. And I'm keeping after them to keep on improving their operations. We're getting results now, good results. You can buy work shoes in Philadelphia now for the same or less than you had to pay last January when the price freeze was ordered. You can buy cotton house dresses in Los Angeles for less than they cost 5 months ago. You can buy those little jars of baby food in Boston or Chicago for less than they cost last winter. This is not perfect. A lot of these prices were higher to start with, but it is real progress. All of this will be wasted if we don't get the right kind of control law from Congress. If we get no law, or if we get the wrong kind of a law, we will not be able to keep the prices from running wild. I suppose a lot of people think it's a sure thing that Congress will agree to the right kind of a law. But we just can't take that for granted. After the representatives of the administration testified in favor of a good, strong law, the congressional committees heard some 124 witnesses representing all sorts of private organizations. And do you know how many of them came out for the bill? 20. Just 20. All the rest were against the whole anti-inflation program.